This is the story of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. The earliest known versions of this story were the accounts called the Gospels, written in Greek, called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and probably written many years after the death of Jesus. They are the four books that make up the beginning of the New Testament of the Bible. Jesus was a Jew who lived around 2,000 years ago in the land that today is called Israel and Palestine. Christians who follow the teachings of Jesus call it the Holy Land. Jesus was and is still known as the Christ. Christ is a Greek word that means anointed one. It was the custom of the ancient Jews to anoint with precious oil or chrism the son of a king. When Jesus was born, the Jews had been waiting and longing for many, many years for the coming of a king who would deliver them from their enemies. From their golden age of wealth and power under King Solomon the Wise, the Jews had fallen far indeed. First, the Babylonians had conquered them, destroying the great temple of Jerusalem and carrying off the sacred treasures of their faith. Then the Assyrians had conquered the Babylonians, and then the Persians had conquered them. The Jews had been little more than slaves, passed from one to the next of a succession of new masters. At last, the mighty Roman Empire had added Persia and all its possessions to its state, and so now the Jews fell under this new, massive, and brutal authority. Although they were permitted by the Romans to rebuild their temple and to have their own king, he was little more than a puppet. The true power lay in the hands of the Roman governor of Syria, in whose province the land of Judea was now included. In all the years of their oppression, the Jews never forgot their days of glory when Solomon ruled in Jerusalem. They believed that they were the chosen race of God, the one and only God, that only they knew how to worship him properly, and that only they were worthy of his love. How could it be that they were forced to submit to these unbelievers, or Gentiles, as they called them? For generation after generation, wise men and prophets had foretold the coming of God's chosen Son. He was to be the Anointed One, the Christ, or Messiah in their language, who would deliver them from oppression and restore their ancient rights. The most famous of these prophets were named Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Daniel. Some of their prophecies were very detailed. They said exactly where the Messiah would be born, to what family he would belong, and what he might do. But many of the prophecies were contradictory and confusing. They even seemed to foretell the destruction of the Messiah at the hands of his own people. There was much argument and discussion among the Jews as to what these prophecies might mean, but about one thing they were all agreed. The Messiah was coming, but when? How long must they wait? Many prophecies were fulfilled at the birth of Jesus, but if he was the Messiah, he was not at all what they were expecting. Isaiah had prophesied that there would be a man born before the Messiah who would prepare the way for the coming of the king. So the story of Jesus must begin before his own time with the birth of his cousin John, who, when he grew up, became known as John the Baptist. In Judea at that time, there lived a priest named Zechariah. He and his wife Elizabeth had grown old without having any children. It was a great disgrace then for a woman to be childless, and Elizabeth was very unhappy. Zechariah could have divorced his wife and married another woman, but he loved Elizabeth, and so he stayed with her. Now, it was a very great honor for a priest to be chosen to light the incense in the temple, and the custom was to draw lots to see who it should be. One day the lot fell to Zechariah. A crowd had gathered outside, and they fell silent as he went into the sanctuary, where only the chosen priest was allowed to enter. With a burning taper, he lit the bowl of sweet incense, set there as an offering to God. He watched as the incense began to spark and crackle into flame, and the spiral of perfumed smoke rose slowly into the air. Before he could continue the ritual, the smoke began to shake, and then to twist itself into a strange shape, like a man with wings of fire. His eyes shone like stars, his mouth had a tongue of flame, and all about him the air was filled with a brilliant light. Astonished and frightened, Zechariah fell to his knees, but the figure that had appeared to him said, "Fear not, for God has heard your prayers, and I, Gabriel, have been sent to answer them." Zechariah knew the name of Gabriel from the scriptures. This was the angel that God had sent to the prophet Daniel. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son," said the angel, "and you will name him John. Rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of God. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him to make ready the people for the coming of the Lord." "How can I believe," said Zechariah, "that this may be true? My wife and I are old. It is too late for us to have a child." "I have brought you the word of God," replied the angel. "Because you doubt it, you will be unable to speak until these things come to pass." With these words, the angel disappeared, and Zechariah was alone once more, with just the thin plume of smoke. Had he imagined it? He tried to call out, but he found that he had been struck dumb. He thought that his heart would burst, for now he was sure that it was a real vision, and that the angel had spoken the truth. Out of the temple he ran, dancing for joy, and the crowd fell back in wonder. Whatever had happened to their priest? But when they questioned him, he was unable to answer, and could only smile. "Surely," they said to one another, "he has seen a vision in the sanctuary." But he could not tell them what it was. So he left the temple and went home to his wife. Sure enough, Elizabeth conceived a son. She and Zechariah were filled with happiness, and they gave thanks to God. Elizabeth had a cousin named Mary, who lived in the village of Nazareth in Galilee. Mary was a young woman, but she was already betrothed to a carpenter in the village, whose name was Joseph. 6 months after the angel Gabriel had appeared to Zechariah, he came to Nazareth. Mary was sitting alone when she was startled by an extraordinary sight. It was as though the sun had suddenly rushed closer to the earth, so that everything was turned to gold, and before her, brighter even than gold, stood a man, made all of light. She trembled with fear before this vision, but then the angel bowed low to her, saying, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." She was amazed and confused. Why should an angel, a messenger of God, speak to her in this way? But Gabriel went on, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and his kingdom will have no end." "But how can this be?" said Mary. "I am a virgin." "The Holy Spirit will come upon you," said Gabriel, "and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child who shall be born will be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son, even in her old age, for nothing is impossible to God." Mary fell to her knees. "Then here I am," she said, "the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be as you have said." And she bowed her head before the angel. The bright light was already fading when she looked up again, and Gabriel had vanished. The world was just as it was before. Or was it? If what the angel had said was true, then she was pregnant, and she was not yet married. Who would believe her if she had told them how it had happened? Whatever could she do? But the last words that the angel had spoken to her helped her to make up her mind. She would go to her cousin and ask for her advice. Elizabeth would know what to do. When Mary arrived at Elizabeth's house, she greeted her respectfully, but Elizabeth interrupted her with a cry of joy and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you bear." Mary was astonished. How could Elizabeth possibly know of this already? But her cousin went on, "Why has this happened to me, that the mother of the Son of Heaven should come to me? As soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy, for he knew his Lord." She placed Mary's hand on her stomach. Mary felt the strong kicking of the baby in Elizabeth's womb, and the faces of the two women lit up with happiness. Mary was so relieved. She had been trying very hard to think of the words she would use to tell her cousin what had happened to her. Now she discovered that Elizabeth needed no explanations. She put her arm about her, and together they went into the house. For 3 months, Mary stayed with her, and then she returned home to Nazareth. When Elizabeth gave birth to her son, her neighbors and relatives were delighted for her. They had all believed that she was too old to have a child, and they praised God for his mercy. When the baby was 8 days old, it was the custom that he should be circumcised and given a name. They were going to call him Zechariah, after his father, but Elizabeth said, "No, he is to be called John." Everyone was astonished. "But there is no one in your family called John," they said. They tried to ask Zechariah what he wanted, but of course he couldn't speak, so they sent for a writing tablet. On it, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his tongue was set free. For 9 months, Zechariah had been filled with the most amazing thoughts and feelings, but unable to speak. Now he laughed, he roared, he shouted his happiness, and words poured from him like water from a fountain. Everybody marveled at his recovery, and although they were not always quite sure that they understood him, the gist of what he said seemed to be that his son John would be called the prophet of the Most High, and that he had come to prepare the way for the Lord. What would this child be, they wondered, for surely the hand of God was upon him.